Hi, everybody. I'm here with Mike. Mike, how's it going?
How's it? Good new. I know. Hello, everyone. Hello.
Good to see you. We hosted our first safari together for the year, and then after that, kind of haven't seen each other for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Yeah, I think we only saw each other again when we renewed our first air course now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was a fun trip. It was good to co-host with you again.
Yeah. So we're going to chat about the Serengeti, and it's a place I think both of us love. And you know, I think each place you go to, or each time you go to the Serengeti, it's different every single time. This was the first time let's start off with the change in itinerary or the change of suppliers. This was the first year we went with Acilia. And what were your thoughts on both the camps?
It was a very much welcomed change on all aspects of what the experience was about. But I think what really made the big difference is that we were dealing with guides who are on the ground, in the field, in those areas every single day.
Yeah.
So they really understand the lay of the land, the movement of the animals, and they can just kind of read behaviors so much better than what we got to experience in the past.
Yeah.
So a level of the experience was, up tenfold. And I also think with that came a lot of comfort because of, I mean, it rained one day, I think, eh?
One day it didn't rain. I think we didn't have rain our first afternoon.
Yeah, it was so wet out there. And I think the level of comfort that comes with not only the caliber and quality of the guides, the company and the backing of that company was, really, really comforting.
I think just a small attention to details, you know, the gumboots. I think apart from sleeping, I don't think I took my gumboots off. It's just gumboots on every single time. But I think, you know, those small attention to details, like every guest got a set of gumboots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it's those small things, but it makes such a big difference.
Definitely.
So our first 5 nights in Ndutu, we stayed at Olokira, which is also a migrational camp. So they move it between southern and northern Serengeti. I absolutely love the camp. I think it was great. You know, as far as migrational camps go, I think it's right up there with some of the best that I've stayed in.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you would never walk in there and think, oh, every 6 or every 4 months, these guys are folding and unpacking again. It is really a well-oiled machine. And I think not only the camp itself, but the team who work within it. I mean, we've had our experiences in the past dealing with management and like logistical issues, whatever it might be. But the guys in these camps were really on it. It's like they kind of had an answer before we even asked the question. Really, really great experience.
What I enjoyed about our guides as well is, you know, Ndutu can be, it can be busy if you're following the crowd. You know, it can be sort of overwhelmingly busy. And I think we had one day where there were those cheetahs that were close to camp, we got really busy. But apart from that, I can't remember a sighting where I thought, geez, you know, this is a little bit kind of overwhelming and super busy.
Yeah, no, I agree. Thinking back to previous years, like you said, it can get very, very pressured. And I also recall on this recent trip, we were out in the plains and wondering, like, yes, where's everyone? This is so amazing. And then we got stuck. It's like, now we know, I know what's here.
It was because there was a leopard in the tree. The previous day, we had a leopard in the tree. We thought, okay, well, let's go back there. But I mean, it was just rivers all over the place.
Yeah.
And as we stopped to try to kind of have a look, which is like, zoop.
Sung straight in.
Straight in.
Yeah.
And then that was the start of like one putting out the next one. Then that vehicle would get stuck. And it was kind of like,
yeah, I think that day crawling. We got stuck 6 times, I think.
It was like just crawling forward. It was like the blind leading the dumb.
And then one bystander, that one guy who just literally was there for conversation. Was doing absolutely nothing to better the situation.
And our tow rope was getting shorter and shorter because the more we pulled, the more snapped. I think by the end of the trip, the tow rope was basically just the two sort of knots on
like a meter long. But with that, I think, and that also, I think, speaks to not only the level of guides that Acilia have, but them understanding the terrain a lot better than like an overlanding guide, for example.
Yep.
We'll drive from the crater to the Serengeti, north, south, and all over. They understand how and where to drive and when they can push limits, because we pushed them a lot in terms of where we could have and should have driven.
Yeah.
But the guys got us through it, and it was great. And I think, yeah, most of our big sightings, thinking and looking back, yeah, we were very fortunate to not feel the pressure of crowds.
Yeah.
It was very cool, very lucky.
And I think also a big up to our guests as well. You know, they all had a good sense of humor and stuff with getting stuck. You know, it can be frustrating. I think the first time we got stuck was the longest time, because we were so far, there were no vehicles close to us.
It was your guys' fault.
It was our fault. And then you guys got stuck and you got out and...
Oh, that was a day.
But that was like, we were stuck there for like a few hours.
Yeah, it was probably 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were literally on one of the furthest points of the plane.
Yeah.
Both our vehicles stuck. And then fortunately, there was another silly vehicle coming into the area.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he didn't get there, we'd still be sitting there. If it was, and we were proper stuck. It was like, you guys were proper stuck.
But we eventually got out by ourselves.
Yeah.
Eventually, through a lot of digging and putting those little traction things under the tires. Okay, so after Ndutu, we then moved to Namiri Plains for 5 nights. And I think at Ndutu, apart from cheetahs hunting on the plains, I think we got everything that we were looking for. You know, lions and trees, we got a caracal there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were limited that we couldn't get to the plains as often as we wanted to. And that's usually, you know, where you get the cheetah hunts if you're patient enough. But then our focus shifted to the Eastern Serengeti with obviously lions on rocks. And I mean, the Namiri Plains from a location point of view is just unbelievable.
Yeah, you can't get better. And I mean, the camp itself as well is just breathtaking.
Yeah.
It's a stunning location, stunning camp itself. And similar to Olakira, the staff, it's such a well-oiled machine.
What is our butler's name at Namiri? Was it George?
Yeah, George.
It was George.
Yes.
What a brilliant. And he's also trained to be a guide.
Yeah, he's like going to go crazy.
Great individual, like knows everyone's names, got like a big smile on his face, knows what you're drinking, how you drink it. And it's just, you know, those small things that it makes our lives much easier on the ground, not having to manage service and trying to get drinks for everyone.
Exactly. It makes a big difference, especially with the conditions we were facing. And like you said, we had one day of no rain. And I mean, that's out of anyone's control.
Yeah.
And it's becoming, I'm finding it a lot more challenging trying to anticipate or read or make judgments on animal movements, weather, whatever it might be, because it's changing so much.
It is.
Like in the past 4 years, traveling to that area, it's like you can't predict anything anymore.
And I mean, we've gone the same time of the year without a single drop.
Exactly. And yeah, we've had every drop every day. But it's when you're facing conditions like that and getting stuck and being a bit uncomfortable, you said the gumboots is a great touch.
Yeah.
But it's also getting back and you welcome back to a neat, clean, beautiful room, which you then go trample full of mud.
Yeah.
And your drink's waiting ready for you after your warm shower.
Yeah.
You then get back to your room and your room's spotless again. Your gumboots have been cleaned.
Yeah.
Those are the elements of these tough conditions that not only you and I, but the lodge environments as well can manage and can step up. And this experience definitely has been a step up in terms of how and the things added into it make a challenging situation where you're getting stuck six times a day a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. Excuse me. Because I mean, the wildlife in the past always used to be the wildlife is the hero. You're almost like a little bit worried in a way of getting back and, you know, is there going to be something wrong in the tent? Where here, I mean, the wildlife is still the hero, but you actually look forward to getting back to camp and you've got a very comfortable room, amazing food, great location. So, yeah, definitely a massive step up.
Mm.
The one advantage, though, with the amount of rain that we had was the moody skies.
Yes.
That we had. I mean, I haven't, had moody skies like that all day, every day, from morning to late afternoon.
Yeah. Regardless as to what you're spending time with, cheetah on the plains or lions on a kopje or lions in a tree, there were clouds.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, adds tremendous value. And it also helps with, because, we didn't necessarily spend full days out there like we did in the past because of the locations of these camps. It's you end up prime spots. So we returned, I think every day. I don't think we did maybe one full day.
One full day, yeah.
But with that and the cloud cover, also just for all the guests who had joined us, we're pretty avid keen photographers. That allows you to photograph throughout the whole day because
yeah.
you've got this soft light that's hitting
absolutely
hitting the planes and hitting the subjects. And yeah, so it was, and although a bit of rain and drizzle, but in the moments where it wasn't raining, it was pleasant. It wasn't all too hot. And yeah, I think the vehicle setup as well was proper. I was a little concerned in the beginning with
because these were now fully open vehicles like you would get in South Africa.
Yes.
Compared to the traditional, can I say traditional East Africa vehicles with yeah. pop-up roofs.
Exactly, yeah. And I was worried about the roof getting in the way. And I think for you and I as the guides on the trip, sitting in the least favorable position within the vehicle on the right hand side, because we'd position all the guests on the left.
No.
I don't think that roof impacted them ever.
No.
Whatsoever. It was perfect for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously, so then if you're filling up the vehicle, then that's where it's going to get a bit tricky. If guests are sitting on the right, can't see lines in the tree.
Yeah.
But I think for how we split it, 3 guests per vehicle, all the guests on the left, I mean, it couldn't have worked better.
No, it's perfect.
It was awesome. And sightings wise as well. I mean, we've been boasting about the change and Acilia and it was all incredible. But yeah, we, considering the conditions and the rain, man, we saw cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, we see.
And I think apart from, I mean, you guys had that brief male lion. That was one thing that we wanted to get, but we couldn't get to research copies because of the amount of rain. Apart from that, we had lions on rocks. Did we have leopard there? We didn't have leopard in the east, eh? I'm trying to remember now.
Yes, we did, right close to camp. When we came back that evening, we were coming back a bit early.
Oh, yes, that's right.
There was a leopard there. See. Mama Namiri, I think they call her.
In the tree, that's right.
And that was beautiful. Yeah. The clouds changing in the back, the sun setting, that was very nice. And she was posing.
And we had cheetahs kind of all over the place. It's just the places.
Yeah, and baby cheetahs. Yeah, there were lots of cheetah out there. And yeah, cheetahs eating, cheetahs chasing, cheetahs doing all sorts of things. It was really productive. But I think if Art Wolf.
We saw
3.
Yeah.
In the middle, which is...
It's the first time I've ever seen Art Wolf in that area.
Yeah, it's the second time only in my life ever seeing an Art Wolf. So that was insane. That was so good. But I think like those were really cool, rare, special moments to see and photograph. But I think who were you with that morning? I think it was you, Skeet, Linda.
And Ingen. I was with Ingen.
Oh, Ingen. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's correct. I think you guys had the sighting of the trip in terms of...
With that caracal.
Like, yeah, rarity and the just how special it is. Go, like, rub it in.
Yeah, just rub it in. Yeah, I mean, like, I think, first of all, and I looked at my photos and, like, why did you photograph in the beginning? But, you know, every time you see a caracal, it's like, wow, this is incredible. And you usually think, you know, you might have a few seconds and
it's over.
It's gone. But this cat was so relaxed and we kind of followed it and knew she was hunting, but obviously we don't want to disturb and get too close. So you guys left and we were just about it because the cat kind of moved away from us. And we, by that time, we'd spent probably 20, 30 minutes with her. And as we were about to kind of pull away, she turned and came back towards us in this drainage line. And we parked off there, waited for a bit. And what was our guide's name again? I forgot.
Yeah, he had Gimba.
Gimba. Gimba, that's right.
I'm looking at a gimbal here in the studio.
Gimba. He said that he saw a hare in the grass. And I mean, I didn't see it. So she followed. And next minute, this cat just pounced.
Crazy, man.
And came out with this hare. And I was just like, can't believe what's happening. Photograph. And she then, you know, ate a little bit, but then carried this hare into the distance. And Gimba said, she's taking it to a cub. I was like, you're joking. Like, how much better can this get? And, choose anything. Look, we say a cub or kitten or this thing was about the same sort of size as mom, but you know, still to see two caracals like at mom and kitten interacting, I'll probably never see that again.
Yeah,
and that was just absolutely incredible. We got some cool photos, cool videos.
I've seen the stuff you guys have posted online, showed us in camp. It got some stuff. You guys have got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, just so stoked for you guys and the guests that were a part of that, because like you said, that is like a once in a lifetime type sighting. And yeah, we were lucky with her as well, because we saw her on multiple occasions as well as the cub.
Yeah.
And that wasn't too far from camp. So yeah, I think sightings wise, cannot complain with what we got to experience and the colors and the flowers and the herds as well. Like, yeah. That's obviously one of the biggest reasons why you go to that part of the world this time of the year.
So many wildebeest.
Yeah. Like we were off on the tee on the bird side of things, but I mean, that's such a fine, small window.
Hard to predict that.
That synchronization. But I mean, the numbers of wildebeest, zebra, it was insane. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere.
I think the hardest thing, and I mean, we chatted about this during our time there, and if you guys are listening to this thinking of coming on one of the trips in the future, the hardest thing there is to kind of, you know, stick with what you got, because you're often thinking, you know, so like we have cheetah, and like you're thinking, oh, but there could be lions on rocks, and you'd kind of, yes, there could be lions on rocks, but you have cheetah here in front of you, and if you have cheetah, if you spend enough time with them, they are going to hunt. So yes, the focus is on lions and rocks there, and you know, ideally you want to try and get in the first few days so you can kind of take that pressure off. But there's almost too much happening in that place that you kind of, the first thing that you find, you almost have to stick with it and see what unfolds, because otherwise you spend all of your time kind of racing from potential to potential and, you know, missing out.
Yeah, the magic happens in your transit over to the next site.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You just hunker down and sit, and I think your sighting you mentioned previously speaks directly to that point, saying just be patient and sit there.
Like,
Gimba saw this hare, and I mean, how he did that, I have no idea, but you have faith in your guide, listen to him, and just be patient.
Yeah,
and you get to witness something really spectacular, and sometimes you don't, but it's better than racing around, bouncing across the Serengetis for a what if, you know, like, yeah, we've got this now.
Yeah.
But it's true what you say. There's so much happening in that place.
Yeah.
It is actually.
Yeah. It's,
and when you do make a call to leave, it's like flipping tail. The tail moves, and everyone's like, no, we stay. So the golden rule: if you ever find yourself out there, if you decide to leave, just don't look back, eh?
And then our last day, we found those lion cubs close to camp.
Oh, flip. Yeah.
And I'm actually glad we found them on the last day and not sort of earlier on, because we probably wouldn't have left
that area
for that whole week.
Yeah, we were super lucky in that area, that little kind of stream and flow and those reeds, reflections in the water, two males, tiny little cubs.
That was so cute.
Man. And the way those cubs, like when they stood and drank and held each other, oh man, so incredible. And we were sitting there, we could see, I think it was Linda's tent, tent eight.
Yeah.
Was a little right there. So we had those, because I think there was an elephant that died there, right?
Yes.
That big pride was there. And I mean, like you said, fortunately, there wasn't visual of them in the early days, because, yeah, we wouldn't have seen anything else. But no, it was a solid trip. And logistically, with how we now fly in, fly out.
Yeah, it's just easier.
Yes, it was bliss. Eh?
Yeah,
it was really good.
Talk me through that drive to the airstrip on the last morning.
Yes. Yeah, like we hit our number 10 getting stuck.
So I mean, just to put this into perspective for you guys, so the drive to Cerro Negro is quite a bit of a drive, right? So it's probably like 2 to 3 hours on a dry day. So yeah.
On a dry day. Yes, it was far from dry, huh? Yes, it was so wet. And I remember, because we went past that lion sighting, or where those lions were.
Yeah.
In the hopes to have a quick look and see, and thank goodness they weren't there, because if we had a quick look and see, we probably would have missed our flight. Yeah. There's that little kind of bridge crossing that I think Acilia put that little bridge in place, which helps all the other camps in that area. But the access into that little bridge has become like one of the biggest mud wallow pits in the Serengeti today, I think. And yes, driving along, and what was the guide I was with that day? It was in Gimba, and I've been sitting here trying to remember his name, and I can't. Anyway, I'm asking him, he's telling us while we're driving, he's like, oh, today it doesn't seem that bad. It was like better than I anticipated. And then he says, but there's one little bad patch. Yes, and we're going. And we, so probably there's a flat art fog somewhere out there because we hit some big hole.
Yeah. And you think you can't go slowly. No, but you
sure will get stuck. Yeah. And then I asked him, oh, is that the bad part? He's like, huh? He just like giggles. He's like, no. So coming. And then we hit the bad part, but we hit it not good.
Yeah.
And we were just chassis down and stuck. Boom. It was literally like we smashed into a wall. I was wearing my safety belt every single day.
Yeah.
In the beginning, like all the guests were laughing at me. Oh, you wearing your safety belt? And then Mike nearly flew out the vehicle. But he started using this guest Mike. Not I also nearly flew out the vehicle, but another guest of ours nearly flew out the vehicle. Then safety belts became a thing. But I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
In situations like that, we could. And if we didn't have a safety belt on, especially in that moment, we would have literally mud wallowed.
Yeah.
We all four of us would have flew straight out the front of that vehicle into the mud. But yeah, like proper stuck there, and you guys were behind us, came around
at speed.
That in itself was like, geez, that is scary, but you guys made it.
Yeah.
And then it was Operation Rescue, and it was just slosh and mud, and it was there wasn't even a road.
I didn't think you guys were going to get out of all vehicles and get out of there.
But yeah, the guys did a great job. They got us out. But yeah, I remember quite distinctively that first time in Gimba, pulled that tow rope, and by then we had a new tow rope, just so, and if we didn't, we probably wouldn't have gotten out.
Yeah.
But when he pulled and his vehicle kind of got pulled straight by that tow rope, and he was like, literally it was just his back left wheel on the ground. Everything else was in the air. And fortunately you guys got out and stood on the bridge, or at the bridge, because someone would have got seriously hurt in your vehicle, I think, with that whipping.
Yeah.
How Gimba stayed in the car, I don't know. But yeah, I think it was like four or five attempts in the yard, flipping got us out. But then we were also like rocking, swaying, swinging. It was bloody wild. Yeah. But I mean, like you said early on, the guests were so perfect for what we were facing.
Yeah.
You know, they were understanding and accepting of what's happening, and yeah, had a blast. But
I mean, you're like, it doesn't help getting upset in that situation. The guide also doesn't want to get stuck.
Yeah. So
in order to get you to those places, you're going to have to take a bit of a risk and kind of, otherwise you can just drive on the main road and you're going to see nothing, but you won't get stuck.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you need to weigh it up, eh?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think our guides did an incredible job. I still remember in Gimba and how caked he was full of mud.
And he was picking up new guests.
It's like, welcome to the Serengeti. Not the greatest welcome gift, that is a car and a guide full of mud, literally top to toe. But yeah, then flip, we got to the airstrip we got there early.
Yeah.
But there was pressure and they're like, you need to get on your flight. So you and I were on a separate flight. So it was like a race, say goodbye to guests, passports, bags, gone. And yeah, pretty exhausted after that.
Yeah.
And I can imagine for you having done a 4-week stint.
Yeah.
Because you had a 2 weeks in Kenya prior,
yeah.
But you are very productive, eh? Yes, it was a good trip.
It's an incredible place. It's it always, like, you think of the amount of rain that we had in a lot of other places, you would literally see nothing.
Yeah.
In that kind of,
take Southern Africa, kind of, for example. Yeah. Like, I remember rainy days as a guide in South Africa, and you know,
it's
going to be so difficult.
Yeah.
Speaking about how mud wallows start. It's like, you go to the very small nitty-gritty things.
Yeah, exactly.
But out there, we were, very fortunate. Huh? And I mean, the rain is one thing, and I think we got stuck 11 times total, and I think 6 or 7 on one day. One vehicle was 6, one, the other was 1. But I mean, those moments where you slow, and I feel that's where the group really bonds and gets to chat and, it was a lot better than it could have been.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some sketchy times in the Serengeti in the past, but this time was good. It was good. Lekker. Yeah.
I think that video of you guys getting stuck is actually on your Instagram. So you guys can, I think you created it, you made a reel.
I did.
Yeah, so go have a look. It's
On the way to the airstrip that morning.
Yeah.
Yes, that's flipping funny. See us bouncing around, look like minions from Despicable Me. Yeah, that was, and everyone's face. I think the running joke was the sound of the Serengeti that we kept saying. Like, when you hear a vehicle like, nee, 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 raving, you know someone is stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were hearing that almost like every single
all around you.
Especially in Ndutu.
Yeah.
And yeah, the video Johan's speaking of here, the reaction from Jack, the gentleman who was sitting next to me, and then Mike in the very back, and the words like, I know that sound. Just the heartbreak in that moment.
That's best.
Was, yeah, really brilliant. It was cool. It was fun. But yeah, got out of that and no one got hurt. And I'm pretty sure the vehicle got a bit of a ding somewhere because, yes, that was a hard knock. But yeah, not worse than the ding a recent vehicle had in India. Gus smashed into a tree. Jeez. We saw about six other accidents out there. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
No, so it's, I think, you know, if you think you're going to the Serengeti, I think go with an open mind. You know, like Mike said, the weather changes, you know, I think all over the place. I mean, we're in Johannesburg now, we're getting rain in April. And also the, you know, predicting the time when the wildebeest give birth is also quite a difficult thing to kind of, you know, get exactly right. But one thing is for sure that you'd have great predator viewing. Mm. It's a incredible experience. It is that iconic Africa that you sort of, I think that most people think about, those vast open plains and those granite outcrops when you go to the east. So it's an incredible experience. We're using a Celia again in 2028. We're not doing one next year. The next one will be in 2028. So yeah, if you guys are keen to do the safari, it, like we said, it's an incredible experience. The lodges are great. And, you know, I think it's probably one of the trips where people take the most amount of photographs during a trip, just because it is so productive.
Yeah, I can't see the Serengeti disappointing anyone ever. It's, I mean, even in, let's go back to 2020 really briefly, and that was also a hell of a challenging experience.
Mm.
And I find even in that difficult time that we had to host out there, we still got really good stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I think what Johan had mentioned is just come in with an open mind. That's the most important, is just to come in and just appreciate what this place is going to do for you, because it's going to blow your mind. Yeah. There's no way, no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you off to next and when?
Lower Zambezi on the 7th of May. So,
not long, eh?
Yeah. I was actually chatting to a friend before coming in here, Kevin Dobby.
Oh, yeah.
Had a coffee with him and Kerry. And there was, they up at Bafuri at the moment, and it's been flooding, and one of the lodges is going to potentially be written off because of the flooding. It's like, it's bad. And that thing, I never thought of it until we were chatting now, and I was thinking, gosh, this Lausanne's going to be so different.
Yeah.
Remember the first time you and I went, it was green and the channels were full and wet everywhere.
Yeah.
That's going to be similar to that now, which obviously is going to be a change in wildlife volume and action, I think, but it's going to be so pretty.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, the colors, it's going to be really, really cool, but I think it's going to be very wet because I mean, literally the whole of, I think, sub-Saharan Africa, and also when I was in India recently, was raining like crazy now and it shouldn't be.
Okay.
So yeah, everywhere is just hella wet. So if you are planning on coming to Africa soon, bring your rubber ducky.
To wait.
Your wings.
Yeah. Your wings.
Little wings. So yeah, off to Loza. I'm very excited. And yourself?
Where you? I go to Laikipia and Abaseli 14th of May. So yeah, got like a few more weeks at home, which is nice. Been a busy start to the year, but.
Yes, you have been running here.
Yeah.
Kenya, Tanzania, Patagonia.
Yeah. Same place.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you, bud.
If you guys have any questions, get in touch with Mike or myself. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you on safari in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's it from us.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cheers.